So what you get here at Trailhead Church is the best thing on the planet. And you need to believe this, and here's why. Because you're here. It's the truth of the matter. If you belittle where you're at, then you're belittling yourself. You need to realize the call that's on your life. You have something super special, and it's the uniqueness that God has placed on you. There's no one like Dan in all of the world, and we need to accept this, right? There's no one all in the world like Pete. Pete's very unique, all right? Just get to know Pete. Pete's my favorite. But if you begin to identify in that speciality of who you are, then you realize that, hey, working all of this together, the body of Christ and all of us coming together in one mind and one accord, that harmony that exists is really special. And it's important that we don't rob the church of this. And too often, we allow the enemy to rob the church. We'll wake up in the morning and go, too tired. You're robbing the body of Christ of you not being here. You don't think that you're important, but you are so important. You make a smile on my face. I'll call people out. You know me. I'll call you out. It brought so much joy this past Thursday. I ran down into the Bridge Ministry where our food, we're distributing food out in the community. And I see Johnny packing groceries. And I just smile and I go, there's Johnny packing groceries. And I just didn't expect, not that I wouldn't expect you down there, but I was like, Johnny. It just brought so much joy to me to think Johnny's packing groceries right now for everyone. When you have no idea how special every one of you are in this room. And when we come together, that specialness of us as a church, it is special. And I love seeing us united and that we're in one front and one accord. It's the best thing on the planet. And we can't allow the enemy to tell us otherwise. This is a special place. So I want us to begin to reach out further. Now, today's a special day. I'm going to tell you everything that happened in 2023, numbers-wise, all right? And the reason why I do it now is because I didn't want to disrupt the homework series. So we're a month late in giving you all these numbers, but I didn't want to disrupt that series. But I want to tell you what we've done, what we're doing, and where we're about to go. And the matter of it is I want you to grab a hold of this, and I want you to run with it. Being in the ministry isn't the easiest, and let me tell you why. Because if we wanted, we could choose right now to keep this bubble small. We could have this nice little bubble around all of us, and we don't have that need to do the Great Commission, reaching out, you know, getting people baptized, teaching them about Jesus. We could keep it small and get real comfortable. But that's not what Jesus asked us to do. When we decide to get out of our comfort zones, what we're doing is we're popping that bubble of comfort to become uncomfortable. We begin to love on people. We begin to love on people that are imperfect. We that are imperfect, that we are imperfect people loving on imperfect people. So get ready. That's a chaotic moment. But it's going to happen. It needs to happen. And the reason why it needs to happen is because God's called us out to do this. We've got to grow the kingdom. We can't stay silent. What we have here is special. That's right. People's lives can change here. The whole family dynamic, not just for one generation, but generations to come. Why would we want to keep this secret? I don't want people, and I've heard this too often. I've heard visitors come in and they go, man, I've been here for 5 years in this area, and I've never even heard about Trailhead Church. And I'm like, oh. Well, one of the reasons is we save a lot of money on marketing, all right? We choose not to put money into flyers and different things. But that tells me that we don't realize how special we are. You guys are special. And we need to let people know about this. When you interact with different individuals within Trailhead Church, you would realize, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I loved watching yesterday. I have the privilege of being a part of a lot of the women's events here at Trailhead Church. And so for multiple reasons. But yesterday I was a part of the women's breakfast, and it brought so much joy to me just to watch them. My mother-in-law was standing up here, and she was ministering to the ladies, and I got up here on the keyboard stand to take some photos, and I saw the women holding hands and having their hands raised up together and in bond. They were bonding with one another with saying, I've got you. To realize that, and to realize how important it is to have those women in your life, these men in your life, it is the most powerful thing that you can do. God even saw it. We saw this in the Tower of Babel. He comes down, sees the Tower of Babel, and goes, oh, gosh, look what they can do when they're all together. It's not great, but maybe if we can get them to do something together for the good, then it's limitless. God sees this harmony as special. So I would encourage you to realize it's time to pop the bubble of comfort, pop that bubble and go, you know what? I need to get uncomfortable. It's not going to be easy. There's moments that you'll get hurt. I've been hurt. I can talk about hurt all day, but I'd rather spend all of my time this morning on spotlighting the good. I can't tell you how many lives have changed because of this church, because of us. We can't use this word of we. Too often we use the word we. The we of, guys, we need to go out in our community. So then what happens is everyone in this room goes, yeah, that's right. Terrence is going to do it all for us. We've got to change that verbiage and say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to change this community. We can't use the words we because what happens is that we're disassociating ourselves with the responsibility and we're saying, Chris is going to do it. Mickey's going to do it. Mandy's going to do it. Not me. No, we need to say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to pop the bubble of comfort, and I'm going to put myself in a position where God can use me. And yes, it will hurt. Jesus had one of his own disciples, Peter, deny him 3 times. Tell me that didn't hurt. Those moments hurt. I have been in the trenches with people. And they still fall victim to temptation and sin. I don't give up on them. I keep moving. But it hurts. But when you see the victory and you see lives changed and generations changed, man, it's worth it. I gave you guys a statement a few weeks ago. And I'm holding on to this. I believe this is really important for our church to continue to say. I'm contemplating on how I can get Mark to paint it somewhere on the building. So, Mark, get ready. But I want to pray from a position and not a problem. I don't want to have the waters coming up all around us and then we're saying, we got to build a boat. I'd rather already have the boat and then the waters start coming. I want to know what is coming my way. I want to lean into what Jesus is saying, and then I say, I know what's happening. I know what's going on, so I'm ready. I want to pray from the position that God's going to supersede, and all the miracles, the signs, the wonders, all those things are going to come together in perfect order, and he's going to just put us in a position where we're going to see blessing, we're going to see people's lives changed, we're going to do this. So I want us to prepare ourselves. So there's a group of scriptures that I'm fond of greatly. It's in Luke chapter 14, and this is so much to unpack, and I'll do my best this morning, but Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 24. It says, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. So Jesus is describing this moment of this great feast, this great banquet table. So there's this individual who's sitting there going, man, I can't wait to be there. Now, there's nothing wrong with having that perspective, but I believe what Jesus is trying to say with the following scriptures is, hey, don't get so one-sided or inner-focused, but get outwardly focused on the importance of getting everyone at this banquet. So he goes on to say, Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited. Come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there's still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. This is a projection, not of the present necessarily, because it is present tense, but the future of the importance of what Jesus is saying. There's a great banquet being prepared, and it's important that we go out and that we fill every single seat. Jesus is saying every single seat matters. Like, we can't just look at this as some comfortable thing. We had a coaching group come into the church years ago and coach us through some things of like how to grow and how to do certain things administratively in the church and, you know, so forth. So they said, but, you know, you have to split your services. So if you have one service at 70% full, people become uncomfortable and you got to go to 2 services. And I said, they become uncomfortable. What do you mean? Well, they like their space. And when a room is too full, then they don't want to be here. It's like in a full movie theater. And then in the full movie theater, people are like, oh, I got to sit beside this person. You know what that told me? That told me that our behavior in the world is transferring into this church. When that's not the right motive.
Yeah, that's good.
I told everybody in the online that we smell good in here. Some of you probably don't. I mean, it's the truth. I mean, come on. But either way, what this group of scriptures is telling us is that there's a mandate that Jesus is saying every single seat's got to be filled, comfortable or uncomfortable. These seats matter. We've said it here before, and we'll keep saying it for years to come, that every empty seat in this place is a missed opportunity to share the love of God this past week. This week to come, these are opportunities to spread the word and the love of God to everyone you encounter. So all these empty seats are yours. They're yours. Identify with the singular vocabulary here. This is my seat, and I need to share the love of God with somebody this week. Own it. Why is this important? Because Jesus said it's important. Every seat, my house must be full. We can't take this lightly. We're preparing a great banquet here at Trailhead Church. We're a part of this. You guys have seen the globe wall out there in the lobby. It's one of my favorite. I love the scripture up there, Revelation 7:9. It describes what heaven's going to look like. Every tribe, every nation, every tongue.
Amen.
Man, think about that. That's what heaven's going to look like. We need to make heaven right here in this church. This needs to look like heaven. We need to go out to people that don't look like you. They don't act like you. You need to bring them in. You need to invite them. Those moments will bring so much revelation knowledge of God's love on your own life. It will set you free. We've got to pray from a position and not a problem. Not being ready and we're praying from a problem is a blemish on our faith. And we can't afford that. So now I want to share with you the annual report of 2023. So get ready. There's a lot of numbers. If there's any question, you can meet with Pastor Dave or myself after this. But there's all this beautiful numbers behind me. So get ready, all right? So I want to remind you again, our purpose is reaching people from the mountains to the sea. And this opportunity, this annual report, actually is an opportunity to see how God is moving at Trailhead Church and for us to remember that every number represents a changed life, okay? So decisions. This is what happened in 2023. So we had 45 salvations, 53 baptisms, and 230 prayer responses from the prayer room. Now, some of you may go, oh, that kind of seems like a pretty decent number or a lot of number or maybe a little. Everyone's perspective on these numbers will be different. Personally, I find that 45 salvations is low because I want to see more. I can count 45 seats that are empty right here in the front few sections. So in my head, I feel like I want more salvations. I want to go to the streets, the country lanes, and spread the gospel. However, since 2020 and all the pandemic, we went from a larger church in 2019 doing big numbers to 2020 where everything started decreasing. So in 2022, we actually only did 25 salvations. So 25 salvations to the 45, we doubled. So praise God, we doubled in 2023. Right. So what do you think I want to see in 2025? That we did 90 salvations this year, right? So that's the increased mentality that I want us to have, that we take on these numbers as a mandate to say, I want to be a part of this. I want to see the kingdom grow. 53 baptisms. Now, what happened was in 2023 or 2022, which was interesting, we actually only had 17 baptisms. I still think there was a fear of COVID, of this notion of getting in water and doing all that stuff. So all those were playing factors. So 17 baptisms. But last year in 2023, we tripled that number to 53 baptisms, which was fantastic. Now, this year alone, we've only had one baptism service, and we've already had 20 people baptized in that one service. Right. So we're going to see more even coming in 2024. So I'm super thrilled about that. So get ready. So next steps is where our greeters, our ushers, our all the different hospitality out there, but you'll see that we had 786 first-time visitors, and then we had 153 first-time givers. So that is fantastic, fantastic. So you all know, as much as I would love to just lock you all up in here, so when you visit, it's like you can't go anywhere else, I get it. So you may say, well, Josh, there's not 700 and some people here at our church. You're correct. But what there is you. And this is your house. When you choose to make this your house, this is the place called there. And we reference that back into Genesis with Abraham. When he found that place called there, he worshiped. And so this is your place called there. So you sow in, you're a part of that. So those people that go, that come and visit and go out, my prayer is they find that place called there. I can't lock people in, nor do I want to do that. That's called a cult, okay? So, but what I do is I pray for people that are supposed to be here. If this isn't your church, my prayer is that you find a church. Stop shopping, because you're in search for the perfect church, and there's no unicorns out there, all right? So be very careful with this perfection, because that's hindering you from finding that place called there, okay? All right, so next steps. Furthering on, so we had a 398 in total class attendance. So we offer classes throughout the year. So usually during the 9 o'clock service up in different classrooms, we'll have a Holy Spirit class, a financial class. We've had so many great testimonies come from these classes, from people having a further teaching on certain topics, and it's been so great. Learning how to pray, learning how to read your Bible, all of those types of classes have been offered. So we've had 398 attendance this last year, and then we had 22 classes offered altogether throughout the year. So if you're like, I didn't know that, well, pay attention to the video announcements. Don't just zone out. Pay attention, download the app, and find all the different things that are happening and sign up. It's worth it, okay? So out of those 700 and some visitors that we had this last year, we had 68 choose to go through Pathfinders, which is our membership class. So in that class, they can ask all the questions, find out about the history of the church, what we're doing, where we're going, the belief, all that kind of stuff. It's all there in those classes. We would encourage you to sign up for those Pathfinder classes. They are very they're very needed to know if this is that place called there. Matter of fact, there's a group right now in one of the Pathfinders courses. So sign up, make it happen, all right? So attendance. So attendance in 2023, we saw an average total attendance of 443 people. And then average online attendance is 55, which again, I laugh. It's right there. It's in this pocket. We've got like 50 to 65 people right there that just constantly are watching online. We're so thankful you're watching online. Most of them are my cousins in West Virginia. So thank you. You'll say, why do you have all these cousins? Because I'm from West Virginia. All right. So I'm only kidding. That's not really the truth, but whatever. So thank you, Cousin Sam, for watching. All right. Then you'll see an average attendance, 126 kids this last year. We're already super exceeding those numbers. We're seeing 185 kids here on a Sunday morning. It's crazy awesome. So I love that we know how to make babies here. I love it. It's my favorite. Now, what's really wild is already, so 443, so starting in January till now, we've already seen our average attendance bump up 15%. And so as of right now, we're averaging 508 on a Sunday morning. So 508. So again, that's an increase of 15%. So we're getting the word out that this is a special place, and this is where people can encounter Christ, and that's beautiful. So continue to invite, continue to bring them out. Switchback Youth, so we had an average weekly attendance of 36, and then we took 62 kids to youth camp this past year. Encourage your children to be a part of this. I know our youth is a little difficult for adults because on Wednesday night, there's nothing offered. So to come out and drop your kid off and then have to come back and get them just seems a little tiring. Let me give you guys some advice or some ideas here. You can drop your kid off into youth. You can stay. Like, if you want to come into the sanctuary, that light switch is right there on the wall. Just start pushing buttons. You're not going to break it. Just find the buttons. Turn on the light. Just turn them off when you leave, all right? That'd be nice. But sit and pray. Study your Bible while your kid's in youth, all right? Make it happen. There's also some small groups that are happening on Wednesday nights as well. Join one of those. Make an initiative. Take responsibility. Grow your spiritual mind in the sense of like, I know what God's word says and I'm a doer of God's word. So have some initiative to say, I can do this. It's important that my kids show up at youth and that I am here as well. Okay? So make it happen. Attendance, big numbers of attendance this year. So we had 820 in Easter. So we are anticipating 1,000 people this year for Easter. So meaning that we are preparing that already. We're getting some speakers installed upstairs out in the loft area and having some extra overflow seating out there. So we're getting prepared for that. You'll say, why do we need to go? Why don't we just do a third service? Well, you know, I just don't like three services. I'd rather pack the house. I'd rather get all the volunteers in here and not overextend our volunteers just for one Sunday for three services. So, you know, we can do this, all right? Locking arms together, Red Rover, send Ethan on over. So we're doing this, got it? So 820 last year, and then we had a huge baptism service in February the 5th, which was 609, and then on April the 23rd, which I can't remember what was so special about April 23rd. There was something, but it was 578 people in attendance. But it's really, we see these numbers, and every year we can take last year's numbers and then put them into the next year and start evaluating our plans and have a proper projection on what we should do. So for you that are like, you've been here for years and you know Easter, we have our jelly bean table. I'm not about to tell you how much money we spend on jelly beans because you'll think that is useless or worthless, but I beg to differ. I love jelly beans. And when children come up to that jelly bean table and their eyes are like this, that is the most spectacular thing. I just stand over I like just watching the kids. And they're just sugaring it all up. And they're getting all the jelly beans all over them. Worth it, okay? Anytime that we can spend money to help someone feel comfortable and have a hospitality warmth of this is a place that they just love being at, worth it. I don't care. Like, it does not matter. By the way, if anyone's been here for a long time, we're not frivolous spenders, okay? We're very frugal here at this church. But I love those moments. So because we have to project and know where we're going and what we're doing, we have to plan for 1,000 people for Jelly Beans. So that's where we are as a church. So these numbers matter. All right, we saw for the first time, men, we beat the women in attendance. Yeah, no, don't put down your hand. You put down your hands. I know. It wasn't a women's conference. It was a retreat. We had to put a cap on it. It doesn't matter. We beat you by 5. Woo! Yes! For you that are new,
the ladies rock.
Women at Trailhead Church, they know how to show up and show off. They usually are like hundreds at their women's conference. But this year they chose to do a retreat. But men, we can do this. Keep this going. We stay strong. Got it, men? Got it? Can I get an amen, men?
Amen.
All right, here we go. Guys, by the way, men's conference was so much fun this past year. We had an absolute blast. We played paintball. We had a great message from Josh Pennington. So profound, wonderful, great teaching. We had wonderful chili. And then on top of that, man, we had paintball. We played pickleball. We had so much fun. I would encourage you to make plans this year. It's going to be in October. And then obviously the women's retreat was fantastic. I was there. Because again, somehow I get roped into these things. But it was really awesome. Even though the prayer walk was more of a prayer adventure and exercise, but I heard it was awesome. So I would encourage you ladies, sign up. It's going to be great. All right, now into the nitty-gritty. Here's the church staff numbers. So this is how many staff we have at the church. Nope, never mind. We have volunteers. I missed that. Go back to volunteers. Okay, there we go. Volunteers. We have 241 active volunteers at the church. So that is awesome. We love our volunteers. Man, we have so many great volunteers. And we have a group of ladies from a church in Ohio, COF, Community of Faith Church, and they brought all of our volunteers this morning donuts. And so super sweet. So we're so blessed to have them with us. But they're here observing and watching what we do here in North Carolina, so it's really cool. But they wanted to honor our volunteers, and man, they need to be honored. What you guys do here at Trailhead is superb. So thankful for you. So church staff, so we have 7 full-time staff, 2 part-time, meaning it's a part-time salary, and then 6 volunteer staff. So multiple staff that are volunteer, not paid. Sometimes we try to bless them with little things when we can, but as a church, for 508 people in average attendance, this is how many people it takes to run the church. So it's quite a bit. Some people think that that's not enough. Some people think it's too much. Again, everyone's numbers are always everywhere in your feelings towards these particulars. So just know that we are a very, very slim staff, meaning we do a lot of stuff. We all wear a bunch of different hats. So it's not something where it's like, Stephen is not just the worship pastor, all right? Trust me on that. There's too often that Stephen's doing something crazy, and you're like, what are you doing? And he's doing that. And same goes for Katie and Christian and myself, Dave, all of us. We're wearing so many different hats. So it's really thankful for our staff. I love our staff. Like, man, thank you. So then in outreach this past year, so we had 3 schools served at Stuff the Bus. So our Volkswagen bus out here on the sidewalk, we receive a bunch of school supplies. We served 3 schools, and then we gave out 164 Thanksgiving baskets, which was amazing. We had 62 blood drive units given this past year. We've already had a blood drive this year. The Red Cross comes in, sets up, and so if you didn't know that, again, download the app, find out more. You can sign up to give blood here at the church. It is really an awesome outreach that we do. And then we had 35 Angel Tree children. That's just fantastic. I want to increase that every single year to be able to serve them and help them out. And then we helped with 2 crisis pregnancy centers where we received donations, usually around, I think, the October, September, or not, sorry, August, September time, I think we've received those donations. We usually have a crib out here in the lobby where you can throw in all sorts of things, blankets, diapers, all that kind of stuff, and we give out to these pregnancy centers. And then we served 318 first responders. I think that's one of the highest years we've done that. So in the month of May, yeah, it's huge. In the month of May, it's First Responders Month, so we actually cater a huge lunch for them, and we open up the church, and they're in and out all day long. It's super fun to be a part of that. Then this past year in missions, we gave out $31,569 in missions. I want to continue to increase this. We need to increase this. I want to see that number increase. And also, we are looking and exploring, and we've been asked this question multiple times. But problem is, there's a lot of countries that are at unrest right now, and they're not ready for people. There's all sorts of different things, but we want to do a missions trip again soon. Unfortunately, the one that we've done before, which is in Haiti, is just in shambles. Not the ministry, but the country itself. So we're just praying for opportunities. So we're researching out all that because we want to put a missions trip back on the calendar soon. All right, the finances. So last year, total tithes and offerings that came in was $904,000. And then our net income from that was $68,000. So that brings our giving unit per adult $50. But if we put it down to percent to per person, it's $35 per person. Not everyone gives. We understand that. And so some people give more than others. That happens. And so some people give 10%, some people give 15%, some people give 40%, some people give 1%. And that's where we have to realize that as a body of Christ, we do what God's word says and we do what he's encouraged us to give. We seek him for that regular sacrificial, that we do it cheerfully. So I would encourage you to always pursue after God with your tithes and your offerings. But we have been blessed here at this church. All of those numbers combined, we're doing really cool and big things. And so it's not something that just goes to waste. This is something we are so frugal at this church. We don't just go buy things. We have so many different accountabilities and steps and balances. Our board, we have to go to them at certain thresholds. We have to talk about stuff. We've been putting things off to the side in savings. We're trying to grow our savings for not just to have enough to pay our bills each week, but we want to grow and increase those savings. We want to continue to expand. What you guys don't realize is the warehouse, we've been in here since 2021, so we're going on those 3 years now. There's wear and tear, so we're already starting to see some of that. So it's like, oh, we got to repaint this wall, or we need to do this. So we put money off to the side for those projects. But we are so thankful. So one of the numbers that we're really thrilled about is that happened this past year is we did no advertising, but we did reserve and rent out our building multiple times. So facility rental, we actually had an income of $15,000 from facility rental. So if you look at our electric bill, it was $19,000 was our electric bill, which is actually minimum. It's minimal considering that it's an 82,000 square foot warehouse, all right? And all of this headspace and heating and air and keeping it, you know, at a good temperature. So $15,000 with no advertising, we have an asset here, and it's awesome. We actually open up this building, and we rent out to the school system, so they have furthering education throughout the year. So we've had hundreds and hundreds of teachers in here, so it's been really cool because we get to minister to them in certain ways when we can, and they get familiar with the building. Actually, some of you have came, your teachers in the community, you've came to church here, so it's been a really cool opportunity. But $15,000 in rental income, I know what we can do, and it's going to be even in a greater scale here soon, and I can't wait because, again, we need to use this facility because it is an instrument for the kingdom of God. We're bringing people in. They're asking about the church. I get to have so many one-on-one conversations with people, and it's been fantastic, all right? So continue to pray for that. Then, the real number that you want to know is how much money did we spend on coffee last year? I know that's what you guys all care about. So, and toilet paper, and I know you care about those numbers. And those numbers do mean something because, again, that's where operations, it costs. It costs a lot. And some people just don't really understand the cost of stuff at times. The children's church, 185 kids on a Sunday morning, that's a lot of goldfish. I mean, it's a lot. and it adds up quickly. So we spent last year, and I really think that this is a frugal kind of number, but coffee, we spent $756 on coffee for the entire year. Right. That's the reaction I wanted you guys to get. Like, yeah, that's not bad. Because you guys drink a lot of coffee. So think about this. That's how much coffee. So we're doing it here at this church. And, you know, that's always going to be a free thing. We want coffee to be free because we want people to come in and just have a nice warm moment of like, oh, thanks, this is great. And you get to talk to Jean. She's the sweetest person on the planet. You get to talk to just wonderful people like Rich and Sarah and the whole crew, D and all of them. They're wonderful. And they're a part of the greeting team. And coffee, $756 what we spent on coffee, that's pretty good. So we do so many things like that. Shopping, coupons, you name it. If you knew our executive pastor, Dave, you know that we don't do much without couponing, all right? And double checking and referencing and everything else. So it's really cool. So the Bridge Ministry. The Bridge Ministry is so cool. Man, what's happened right now, it has exceeded over an abundance of what we were anticipating. And it is really, really special. You know, I have the privilege of giving you these numbers because to see what's taken place, I came to you guys Easter of 2022, and I presented to you the Heart for the House offering. And I said, hey, there's a building down here. There's a space on our property here. It's attached to the building, and it has potential. It has potential to do some really cool things. It has super exceeded my understanding of what God can do. I know what he can do, but it was just I walked into this dungeon of a room, and I was like, okay, we can make this into a food pantry, and we can do this, and we can do that. And then to go down there on a Thursday and to see it in operation, guys, it's special. Like, it's a really special place to see the line out the door and the families being served. So our volunteer hours alone we started in July. So from July to December, we had over 1,300 volunteer hours, and then we served 3,811 individuals. That's huge. Like, basically going down into a dungeon of a room and saying, hey, we could serve food out of here, receiving an offering, and then the offering coming in over an abundance, and then going in there and then putting the right people in place to lead this, to join with SAFE, the other ministry that we're coexisting with, and to start saying, we can do this. The system, the process, the volunteers, the dedication to see these lives being changed. We're not only praying, or not only giving them food, but we're praying with them. We also have the medical team down there doing some, they're going up to people and asking if they want to have like a health check, and they do all these different processes that goes with Cone Health. I mean, it's a big deal. Like, what's happening down there is crazy. I would encourage you to volunteer. I'd encourage you to give towards it. These numbers are amazing. So the Bridge Pantry, that total cost of what was spent from October to December was $17,000. So food-wise, there's a cost. But I have some great news. We just got approved for 17,000 pounds of food that will be donated for free. Right, each month. The workers of SAFE are doing such a tremendous job. Tiffany and the whole group, they're doing such a great job to get food into our pantry so we can get it out. It's really awesome. We are looking at food cost per individual at $5.96. That's the food cost. Now, if you guys didn't know this, we're treating people like humans, so we're not just giving them a box of food. We actually, by the number of people in their house, they get so many points, and the food is represented by points. They'll take that shopping cart, and they get to shop in the Bridge Ministry, picking out the food they want. So instead of giving them a box of food they won't use, or different items or whatever, we're actually letting them choose the item, place it in their cart, and then go out with it. Super cool. So it's really neat. But we're seeing an increase. We're projecting an increase because of groceries. Everyone knows this. So from $5.96, we're seeing an increase this year to $9 a person. So we need prayer. We need prayer. We need support. We need to continue to see this happen. I don't want this to fall short. I don't want anything to happen. This ministry needs to continue to grow. Knowing that the numbers, just in the last few weeks, it's increased from like 70 households to 90 households on a Thursday getting serviced. So it's increasing and it's increasing and it's increasing. So the volume is there. It's so cool to see what God is doing. Praying from a position and seeing that God takes care of it all. Our prayer is they've got another grant in the works to get some walk-in freezers. And that will be installed down right below you guys. I mean, I'm waiting for a commercial kitchen. I'm praying all these things in. Because it's like, I see what God can do. With faithful people and the right leadership, man, sky is the limit. So I'm thrilled. So this is where I come to you guys with something. Now, some of you may say, oh man, here it is. I knew it. He's got an offering envelope in his hand. Let me tell you something. This always blows my mind. We've already received offering. If I was that guy, I would have waited to the end. Let's pull on the heartstrings of the people. That's dumb. That's not how this works. And no, we're not a money-grubbing church, okay? But I see a potential in an area, and I want to use it for the kingdom of God. This is an 82,000 square foot building. We still have tons of space. All down below you, this entire sanctuary down below is completely vacant. All the way back here to the very last end of the wall is vacant. We have another 10,000 square foot section on the back. It's that big gray building. If you park in the parking lot, you'll see the big gray building jetting out. It's 10,000 square feet. We have so many things we want to do. What I want to do is I want to see us increase. We know we're a young family church. You get pregnant here. Like, we know the testimonies of people who are like, we have prayed for so many families to get pregnant. Because I love when people tell me. I had someone this past week secretly say, hey, we're pregnant. And I was like, shocker. Because they're believing to get pregnant, and God is answering that prayer here. I know that to be true. So I know the generations. This is a generational church. So I know the need. I don't want to go to three services here at Trailhead, basically burn out our volunteers when I know that we have the space in the adult service, but we just don't have the space in the youth in the children's church. So I want to increase that space by taking over the youth space up above, creating children's areas up there. I do want a slide. I know that's audacious, but that's one of those splurges. All right. I want a slide that shoots out from the wall and so the kids can exit. So you don't have to get your small kid from the lower level and then go up the stairs and get your big kid. The big kids just come down the slide, all right? So all of that's in the works, all right? But I want to transform that area. I want to put the youth down below. Right now at the bridge, we're receiving people outside. So we have all these kerosene heaters. We have these tents. People are freezing or they're burning up. So I want to use the lobby for the space down below as a receiving area for the bridge, and I want to expand the nursing bay so that the nurses have a more adequate area for them to minister to those people. What's really cool about the nurses is not only are we checking blood pressure, we're actually also praying for them, which is super cool. We're able to pray. We're able to just meet their needs, not only just on the physical level, but a spiritual level as well. That's really awesome. But I want that area to be fulfilled. I want the commercial kitchen. We have so many different opportunities to team up with different areas. We've talked about teaming up with ACC. We've talked about teaming up with different areas of the community where we could teach people that have diabetes. We could bring them into the commercial kitchen, and we can have someone show up there and teach people how to cook for themselves. And there's so many different opportunities with that commercial kitchen. But you're looking at like a few $100,000 for a commercial kitchen. All of those things are hard because most of us put it in the retrospect of like our own life. Oh gosh, I only have this much. This is where if you have a concern about money, then you have a money problem. You have a, the money has a hold on you. And that's where you've got to let it go. I'm not putting the problem on us as a people. I'm putting it on God. God said, come to me. We're going to him. So when I start throwing out dollar figures, then it's not for you to get overwhelmed. It's for you to go, all right, we together can put this in the hands of God. All right? God will answer these. All right? Period. Okay? So, yes, I have an offering envelope. This is the heart for the house. It's on one side of the boxes. What we want to do is for Easter. So grab an offering envelope on your way out. Put this in your Bible. Begin to pray. I want to receive an offering at Easter. We want to continue to receive for this heart for the house so that we can see the exponential growth and the miracle signs and wonders to take place for the areas to get fulfilled. All right? So upstairs, we have a balcony. This isn't a have to, but if we continue to grow, I want the upstairs balcony to be finished. I had to do an HGTV moment where the contractors come in and go, all right, you have enough money to do a balcony, or you have enough money to do the awning out there at the front entrance. And I was like, are you kidding? They're like, no. And I was like, I want both. And they're like, it doesn't work that way. So I chose the awning. I know. It's like 2 foot by 2 foot, but it looks pretty. But whatever, it keeps you kind of dry. Either way. All right. So to finish the balcony, it's $24,000. You go, man, gosh. When you say man, gosh, again, you're putting the responsibility on you. Put it on God. All right? So don't get overwhelmed by numbers. Go, oh, okay. Put it in God's hands. $24,000. There's bathrooms at the top of the steps that need to be finished. Those bathrooms actually represent how many seats are in the balcony to how many seats are in the toilets. All right? Like in the restroom. So you have to have that equation. That number up there is $72,000 to finish those bathrooms. I know, that does sound a lot. I get it. Like, poop costs a lot of money. I don't get it, right? But $72,000. Then downstairs, the lobby area and the future youth space and event space, because we know we can make money from it in order to pay for all of our utilities here at the church as well. But that space, all of that whole area is $294,000. Again, don't get overwhelmed. All right? This is for us to put it in the hands of God and say, Lord. So total is $391,000, all of that, to get it completed. All right? That still doesn't complete the whole building. There's still more to go. So what am I asking for all of us to believe? Well, I think for sometimes, too often, we're like, let's be conservative. Let's just make ourselves feel better. You know, let's say 375,000. That seems like everyone's, oh, okay, let's believe for 375,000. Then I get angry at myself because too often I have said these types of numbers and I go, man, God's the one answering this. And it's just not enough. Even at 375, it's not enough. Because it doesn't take care of furniture downstairs, all the fun things for the kids. It doesn't take care of all that stuff. So then I'm like, all right, $400,000. And I know realistically what comes in each month here to this church and what we're capable of doing. The statistic is that if you receive an offering at Easter time, then you're going to have a month's worth of offering for that special offering. That doesn't come close to $400,000. I know this, but again, I know God. I know what he can do. So you say, well, Josh, what's the number we're believing for? My executive pastor, I did not run this by him. Because Dave was like, yeah, I think 375 is a good number. Dave's wonderful, by the way. Dave's realistic. That's 375. But then I was like, I want it all. I want the commercial kitchen. I want all of it. I'm tired of believing for little. Let's put it out there. I want us to believe for $700,000. Let's do it. All of us. Let's put it in the hands of God, and that's all I'm asking for you to do. That's it. That's all I'm asking. So I know that we can do this. I've seen miracle signs and wonders. I mean, I've seen things take place where you're just like, this church is wild. I mean, we're building in the middle of the construction, and the electrician comes in, and he's like all shaken up, and he's like, hey. I go, what's wrong? He goes, God told me to write you a check right now. And I was like, awesome. And, again, in my head, I'm like, what? $1,000, what? It's big, don't get me wrong. But it was like, and he's like, no, I'm writing you a check for $50,000. And I was like, yes, you are. Yes. We had money during construction come from all over the United States. We had checks coming in where people heard what we were doing, and they were like, I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this. Stop taking the responsibility. Stop thinking, oh, there it is again, a church asking for money. You know why I'm asking for money? It's because I get numbers like this with the bridge, and I get numbers of people and the stories of lives being changed, and I think this is it. This is why. There is no value you can place on a person's head, period. It's worth it. So let's get into 2025 and rejoice and go, look what we did this last year. I'm blown away. It's like the best thing on the planet. I want us to rejoice. All right? All right. Guys, with that said, I love you all. Have a great Sunday. Actually, let me pray over all of this right now first. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for what we're doing. God, I'm so thankful for what you're doing. God, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you are bringing in the increase. God, I thank you right now, Lord, that no number is too small. God, I thank you right now, Lord, that we're going to see $700,000 come in. God, I thank you right now, Lord, that you are going to overflow in abundance. God, I thank you right now, God, that we're going to be able to approach this project with more than enough. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out. And Lord, we're all going to rejoice. God, I thank you right now, Lord, you're bringing in the right people, the right crafty people to be able to build this facility. God, we thank you for this, Lord. We rejoice in knowing that it is a finished in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for it. We call it done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. We all said, amen. All right, guys, meet somebody new. Have a great Sunday.